Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Source of Strength podcast. I'm Avery, and I'm here today with my special guests, Aaliyah and Faith and Shia. So, hi, guys.
Hi.
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Faith. I'm a junior at Sheldon, and my pronouns are she, her.
Hi again. I'm Aaliyah, and I'm a junior, and my pronouns are she, her.
Hi, I'm Shia. I'm a junior, and my pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Avery, junior at Sheldon, and my pronouns are she, her as well. And so just a trigger warning before this episode, which we're in episode two now, but just a trigger warning, we're talking about grief and the hoping and healing through that. And so if this could be triggering for any listeners, proceed with caution. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about the hoping and healing and how to cope with grief. And so we have some personal experience with Shia. Would you like to take it away from here?
Okay. I don't know how to like dive into this without being like super awkward because I'm in a really giggly mood and what I'm about to talk about is not so giggly, but when I think like at this point it's been six years. I was 10, fourth grade. I lost my mom and I don't want to talk too much about how awful that was in the moment, but I want to talk more about the healing and the coping of that and how important that is for people to know who they have to talk to and what it's like trying to get over the hurdle of getting past something so traumatic. I don't know. How do I even start this?
I don't know. I guess, well, kind of a topic question we can go by is just what was your main, form of coping? Like, how did you deal with it at the time that it was all happening?
Well, I feel like I was so young when it happened. It almost didn't process to me what had happened until, honestly, like, up to, like, years later after the matter of the fact. But mostly just, I don't know, because my family dynamic is not, like, the strongest. And I feel like for a lot of people, if you do have a strong family dynamic, like, it's so important to find that, like, sense of healing within yourselves. But for me, I think it was mostly friends and people who weren't my family members. I mean, my sister and I kind of dealt with it together, but she was kind of the only family member I had personally to really talk about it a lot. But I would say trying to confide in friends and even like teachers, trusting teachers that you can talk to, because I know a lot of teachers would try and just like make sure that they knew that I had someone to talk to, even like if I didn't want it to be classmates or friends, that I had an adult, someone who had like more experiences and more maturity on topics like
I'm really glad you had that. That's teachers are so important in students' lives because they're just like you see them every day. Like they're almost like I don't want to say they're like a second parent, but like you see them every day and like they're, you know, they're in charge of you for a good solid amount of your time. And so I'm really glad you had that though, Shia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just want to like dive into more of kind of like what grief is, because I feel like there's some misconceptions and there's some misunderstandings just about like what grief is, because it's a lot. There's a lot to unpack with it, and there's a lot that goes behind it. But yeah, what do you guys think?
I mean, we were just kind of talking for a second, and I just like what grief is, I think is, I mean, like feeling the feeling the like loss of the person, if that makes sense. That's not like as specific as I want it to be, but like just noticing the person not being there and having to deal with that, especially if it was someone you relied on so closely and for so long.
Right. And I feel like grief, I feel like it is most associated with death, but because that's like the physical loss of someone. But it could also be like, I don't know, I feel like people grieve when they like, you know, lose like a best friend either, mm-hmm. or they grieve when like you move and you like just, you know, you mm-hmm. lose, you know, the people you grew up with or whatever. Even losing like a significant other, you know, in a breakup or whatever. Those are all different forms of like grieving. Like, you all go through a grieving process during like all those different times. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So based on what we were just talking about and based on what Shia, what you were just talking about, like mm-hmm. what to you is a personal grief that like close to you? Like, what does it mean to be feeling that grief, if that makes sense?
I think in my certain circumstances, just because, like I said, I was so young, I mean, it definitely has impacted what kind of person I am today, just because I hadn't fundamentally like developed like exactly, I guess, not that there's like a carbon copy way people should like be developing into their own person, but I think that had a huge effect on how I perceive the world and how I perceive, I guess, everything. But that grief to me in the moment was so numbing. Like, that's the best word I can give to describe it, was mm-hmm. it was just so numb. Like, it almost felt like it just, like, wasn't even real. Like, nothing was real. Like, it was such a surreal experience. And I don't know, it was just after that had happened, it was kind of like that for a long time until I'd finally, I guess, I don't know, I feel like it's so overused, but I time is one of the only things I can heal all. Like for me, it was time and having people around me to support me were the things that got me through that time period of just feeling like nothing was actually happening and everything was like just like chaotic but also like so quiet. Yeah
And I feel like I don't know, I guess, so I personally haven't had very many like really personal losses, but I've had really like close people in my life that have like recently lost people that were really close to them, and I've like kind of more of been an observer of seeing like how like they kind of processed it. And going back to what you said with time, it's so strange to see how like how so much can happen in such little time, or how mm-hmm. or like how the like the biggest things that happen in our lives like happen when it's like either quiet or silent, or it's like where time just like almost seems like it stands still, like
right
that. Yeah, I really liked what you said about that. But
yeah, and I think, I mean, I also haven't had a ton of personal losses, but I've had a few. And And I'm like obviously not trying to relate in like what you've been through.
Oh no, you're good. No.
But I feel like from at least some sort of perspective, there's, at least for me, there's a thought process of the grief doesn't go away, but you learn to like calm it.
Yeah, you learn to adapt to the grief rather than, I don't know, I think I might have worded it wrong, rather than passing, like rather than from moving on from it, it's more like a, you come to a place of acceptance in your life.
Yeah. But that is also, in a way, moving on from
that
it.
That is
That's
true.
That's not, like, I feel like moving on has such a specific meaning to it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we need to try to, like, differ the meaning, if that makes sense.
Because
to me, moving on doesn't just mean, like, this is something I don't think about anymore. Like, this is something that's not a part of my life anymore. Because, like, especially when, like, moving on is like such a big word, typically like connected with big situations.
Right.
Like, that's not going to be just like not a part of your life super fast. Like,
yeah.
I feel like moving on is a good way to describe things, but like the description or like how it's used needs to be looked at a little differently, if that makes sense.
Sorry, that was kind of off topic.
No, I completely agree. And I feel like a lot of people tend to interpret moving on, like just as you said, kind of as like, you know, you've been through this thing and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you get to a point in time where it's like, oh, and like, I don't think about that anymore. It's just, it's gone. I've like kind of, you've like separated yourself from the situation. The situation's like gone. But that's, in reality, that's not what happens. You kind of like, you learn how to kind of warp your life and warp how you are kind of around the situation. You learn to like kind of work with it, like, in kind of in harmony. But
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm trying to think of what to say.
Okay. So, yeah. So now I guess we're going to segue more into just like just different examples or different kinds of grief. Because, you know, grief, as we said before, it's not just about physically losing someone in like a way, in a manner of death or whatever. It's like there's so many different kinds. And, you know, I guess for me personally, like I recently went through a kind of rough breakup, and, you know, it's hard because I kind of
oh my god, Aaliyah.
No, you're good, because I like, you know, I kind of lost a really close friend, but not in a manner of death, more of just as like kind of like moving apart, kind of just separating apart a little bit, but mm-hmm. yeah, and just I don't know.
But back to like the conversation of like different kinds of grief. My my father left to get some milk.
No, you cannot make that joke right now.
Yes, yes, no, I can.
I guess I mean like technically, yeah, you can.
I don't really know. Like, I don't really remember like the way I felt, but like I remember just being like really like confused more than like. Well, I was like really confused and I was also really sad because I was like really young. I was just like a little kid and I was like, "Where's my dad? Like, where? Like, why isn't he here? Like, why can't I see him?" And it was just like a whole thing. I don't really know what I'm trying to get at, but like I still haven't really moved on. I quote unquote move on. I don't really know how to explain it because like my the rest of my family, like my little sisters, because my mom remarried, and so like my whole family has like the same last name, but I still have my dad's last name, and like there's just like a weird like like I want to move on, but like I don't want to change my last name.
Right, right. And I don't think you need to like I don't really think you need to physically like change in order to move on, because I feel like, I mean, that's definitely a way that you can, but like it, I don't, like moving on is such like a personal thing to like different people. Like people move on in different ways, so it all just depends about you as a person, I guess. But
it's just so hard because it's like I still really hate this man. Like, mm-hmm. I'd never want to meet him.
As
I'd
you
never
should.
Want to see
As
him.
As you should.
But then I was talking with my mom about it, and she was like, "You should just forgive." I was like, "Why do I need to forgive? Like, for what?" And she's like, "Like, because you're not," she said that, like, "you're not, when you forgive, like, you're not forgiving him. Like, it's just to, like, be at rest with the whole idea of, I don't even know.
Could she maybe have been trying to say, you need, I mean, this might be far-fetched, and we definitely don't have to dive into this, but could she may have been suggesting or trying to say not forgiving him, but forgiving yourself?
Yeah, that's what she was.
Okay, so she was trying to say forgive yourself, yes. which
I think is completely valid.
Yeah.
I think in the case that if someone was trying to force you to, like, forgive your dad for what he had did, like, I wouldn't be so against that, because especially when you're that young, I mean, it's just like, when major changes in your life happen at such young ages, it's just like a given fact that it will kind of spiral and change the whole way your life works for like the rest of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really like, I think I see what your mom was trying to get at, because at least for me personally, I find it, whenever I either have, like, you know, whenever somebody hurts me, or whenever someone, you know, whenever someone doesn't show something to me in an act of love, it kind of hurts a lot for me. I'm a person that feels like a lot. I'm a pretty sensitive human, I guess. But I find it easier for myself to be able to forgive and be able to let it go and like let it be at rest almost. But yeah, I totally see where you're coming from. It's really difficult, but yeah, I think your mom's trying to come across. I don't know what she's trying to come across at, but
yeah. I don't know. It's just like I don't really understand, because like I really don't like him because of what he did to my mom and stuff, and it's just like she's forgiven him, but like I can't seem to do that, because I just can't forgive him for the fact that he was never there for me when I really wanted him. So it was like,
that's completely valid. I just
don't think I could ever forgive someone for leaving me and my mom in the dust like that.
So. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, I guess, have this virtue of forgiveness, and I'm not trying to invalidate that in any way, but when someone has hurt you in that sort of degree, I think it's completely valid to feel the way that you feel and not want to forgive him, because I think that your main priority should be more just prioritizing your healing, you know?
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think this is kind of like my own opinion, like whatever. You don't have to listen, but like, I feel like you don't have to forgive all the time because like, at least I feel like you don't have to forgive to feel better because I feel like fine. Like I'm a little over it now. Like it doesn't, like it used to be like a very like emotional topic for me, but it's not really that anymore. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, and it still can be an emotional topic. I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be all the time, but like here, I'll move this. So we can share it. Cute. Anyway, sorry.
You're good. You're good.
Anyways, I don't remember what I was saying.
That's all right. That's all right. I think like I kind of what I was getting from what you were trying to say, I guess, is that like it can still be something that hurts you. Like you don't have to like completely just like be okay with it. Like, you know, it's okay to not be okay. That's my favorite saying. Exactly. That's my saying of just everything. It's okay to not be okay. And so I think, you know, and so it can still be something that's hard to bring up, and that's all right, and that's okay, and yeah.
Yeah, and, like, you don't, it doesn't have to be something you have to talk about with people, and it doesn't have to, like, I think what a lot of people maybe don't know or forget is that healing happens on your own time. I know that when, in a healing, at least for me, my experience in healing processes, like, I have felt pressured to get better and feel better like super fast, like regardless of whatever it is. But healing happens in your own time and no one else gets to decide like when you're suddenly better about it. And it's not just going to happen in like 2 seconds, and it's not going to be all uphill. Like
it's a whole, journey. It's not just like, it's not just like, you know, you're down for a little bit and all of a sudden you're just completely up. You know, there's going to be rough days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. You're going to have days where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm completely fine. You know, I can totally beat this. It's great. And then like the next day you could totally just be like, wow, this actually really hurts a lot. It's a whole process, and it's a very personal process, and it doesn't have to go the way that it's probably not going to go the way you want it to go. And that's okay.
Segue from all the grief and what it is. How have we dealt with it?
So I have to say, at least for me, the way I deal with, I guess, either like grief or uncomfortable situations is I immediately just completely switch my brain over to either humor or like laughter. So if I'm accidentally laughing and on this track, I'm really sorry.
Like five times. I'm just kidding. I'm not actually like upset. It's just really funny.
I know.
I think everyone does it though.
I can't contain myself. It's like, I don't know. It's like I immediately just like whenever I see that other people are hurting, I try to lift. I try to be the person that like lifts people up and try to like, you know, make it more of like a light situation when, you know, it doesn't need to be a light situation. It can be a hard situation, but I just personally, I try to cope through like humor and stuff. Yeah. And just talking about it really helps me as well. Like it really helps to be able to talk to either a friend or a parent or just someone in my life.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. And Avery, like kind of what you were saying with like talking through grief and whatever, and like how that helped you. And then also kind of Aaliyah, what you were saying about your dad.
Oh.
Don't like him. Anyways, sorry.
I'm just kidding.
And I'm obviously not trying to like compare situations at all. My parents got divorced when I was like 8 or 9. So another like big thing happening to me as a child. I like didn't know what to do, you know, like I didn't know what was happening. I know I was excited because I got 2 birthdays and 2 Christmases. Like I was excited about that, but like I didn't know what was happening. And like Shia, what you were saying, like it took a while for me to realize like, oh, this is hard, like this is a hard thing to deal with. And like in dealing with that, I've gone to a lot of therapy. I love therapy.
That's great.
Yes, we're very pro-therapy.
We're very pro-therapy. Yeah. I love my therapist so much. So in being therapy, I have learned that like talking about life and what happened does really help. And having a good support system does really help with grief and whatever else you might be going through. yeah, I don't know. I feel like I was just talking a lot.
I know you're good. I feel like it's a very common coping mechanism, or at least for me and my family, because is like bottling things up and like kind of keeping it and like trying to put on this like mask of like, oh, I'm, you know, this, you know, it doesn't affect me. I'm totally fine. I moved on. That's personally what I've seen a lot. And because a lot of my extended family, and even just my family at home, like we, it's kind of almost like a, kind of almost like a passed down thing that like we've all kind of like learned is just like bottling things up. And, you know, my parents have been like helping me with it and trying to like, especially my dad, I love my dad a lot, but like he's been trying to work with me about like trying to open up and actually talk about situations and actually talk about how I'm feeling and, you know, just stuff like that.
Which is so important.
Yes.
We love being emotionally available and talking about our emotions. You guys,
because I was pretty...
about your emotions is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's uncomfortable and it's not fun to talk about, but it really, really is beneficial. And it's a very good bonding moment too with people, I feel like, because like I don't know, just like being able to connect with other people about how you're feeling, there's nothing more beautiful than that. It's really
and like being able to communicate where you are with people so that they know, like, I don't want to say how to deal with you because that doesn't sound right at all,
how to meet you where you're at.
How to meet you where you're at, like, is so important. Guys, communication is important in everything, and I think more people need to learn that.
Yes, it's so important, so incredibly important. There's nothing better than communication.
So true. I love communicating. I love talking.
Me too.
Oh,
I guess we're here. Yeah.
So now, I kind of want to go more into talking about just like other ways to help. I don't know, like how to help yourself, like move on and stuff, or just how to like numb your brain. Because another thing that, like, I don't know, I guess another thing that helps is just kind of, like numbing yourself in a healthy way, like kind of distracting a little bit of your brain, but in a good way. Like, I guess for me, for example, I like to kind of either listen to music or like take walks or like either just spend time with people to kind of like, I don't know, take my brain off it for a little bit. Of course, you know, distractions are only good for like a certain amount of time. Like they can only help so much. But so it's important to have a healthy balance of coping ways and, you know, kind of a little bit of like a distraction. But again, I guess for me, it's more of just like spending time around people that I really care about. Or I don't know, just like listening to music is another one I said. Reading a book kind of helps me sometimes, or like just being outside in nature and fresh air. So what is it for you guys?
Therapy.
Yes, absolutely.
1000%.
We love therapy.
Yes.
I should probably gone to therapy and I still haven't.
I tried therapy.
Yeah. How was that for you? I mean, it's different for everyone, so it's okay to express anything.
I thought I had a lot to talk about, but then like when I met up with her, I didn't feel like talking. Like, I didn't want to talk about anything.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's okay.
I mean, it's scary. It's not someone. It's someone you don't know. Like,
right?
For me, oh, sorry. For me, it literally took months to be fully honest with my therapist because it was someone I didn't know. It was like, it was so scary. Like, it was so scary, and I feel like that's normal. Anyways, sorry.
No, you're good. Oh, you're good.
Don't
please
be sorry. Like, talking.
I don't know, like, therapy isn't supposed to be a comfortable thing, I feel like, at first, at least. Like, it's not supposed to be a comfortable thing because you're there for a reason.
I just don't like talking about my issues. Like, it's just not how I cut. Oh my god, I almost said coop. Cope.
How you chicken coop? Are you a chicken coop?
I suck at English, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
And I only speak English. It's really bad.
It's all right.
Hey, you're taking Spanish.
¿Tú hablas español?
Un poquito.
Oh. Okay.
Why was that so quiet?
It was cute.
It was a cute little Spanish conversation.
I'm only going to whisper in Spanish from now on.
Oh. What was that?
Okay.
Yeah, anyways.
Going back to what you were saying.
Going back to that. I forgot what I was saying. Perfect.
That's all right. That's all right.
Thank you.
You were talking about your like personal experience with therapy, basically.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about my issues. I do like, okay, this is funny because I like talking, but then when it comes to talking about my issues, I don't want to talk about it at all.
That's okay. Like, that, that's very, like, very valid.
Like, instead of talking about things, I just like doing things like going outside or like.
Right, right.
Sleeping.
Kind of a way to like, crying. I don't know, like physically move through it or like do something kind of to help get your brain off of it.
Yeah, and I'm currently, now that I don't play basketball anymore, I'm trying to find something else that I like to do.
Longboarding. Yeah, like you longboarding. Should talk about.
Mm-hmm, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I talked about this last episode, but I really like longboarding. I don't know why, but it's rainy now, so I can't longboard. And that really sucks. So I need to find something to do inside.
Play an instrument.
Yeah. I wanted to play the guitar, but.
Yes, girl, let's learn it together.
Let's all learn it together because I really want to learn to
make a band.
Yes.
I'll play bass.
An all acoustic guitar band.
Aaliyah
you guys.
Is bass. I'll play piano.
Yes. I'll play drums, just drums. Like I did in middle school, which is really embarrassing.
I played drums in middle school, too.
Avery, you're acoustic. Hot. Who's okay. singing?
Drums are hot.
I think we can both sing, Faith. I think we can totally rock. I think after our...
Singing hot. Is so fun. I love singing.
Our car karaoke of Britney Spears, Toxic, I feel like.
So good.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll go buy a guitar, you guys.
Guys, if you ever need very a fun nice. Time, come sit in my car and sing Britney Spears with me. It's so fun.
So I think that about kind of more or less wraps up, I guess, our kind of conversation, I guess. But I just want to say thank you guys so much for opening up. It's not easy to open up. It's really difficult. It's not fun. It's very uncomfortable. But thank you so much for doing it anyways. Thank you so much for being here and just showing up.
Props to us for talking about that.
I love talking about my problems.
Vamanos Akipa.
You keep saying it.
I said it wrong. I said Vamanos, not Vamos.
You did.
You always vamos say Akipo. Isn't it Equipo?
Vamos Akipo.
Vamos Equipo. Speak Spanish.
Yes, you take okay. Spanish.
I think okay. moral of the story
vamos equipo.
Of this episode, keeping us on track.
We're not.
I know. But I think moral of this episode is that grief is hard. Talking about it helps.
Mm-hmm. And you're not alone.
Yes.
And you're not alone. And a Am lot I? Of... It,
sorry.
No,
sorry.
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. So I guess what I wanted to add before this episode closes off is that as lovely as therapy is and how much I want to do it, and I can imagine that so many people want the access to have therapy and have a therapist, it's not accessible for everyone. It can be really expensive without health insurance. So... just wanted to let everyone know that in the next episode, there will be a lot of discussing about, I guess, what resources people have if they can't access therapy. I don't know.
Exactly.
I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. So come back for episode 3. Hopefully it'll be out, next week. But thank you so much for listening today. And I thank everyone again for being here. That about closes it off. Woo. See you guys. See you guys
Bye.
Next week.
Bye. Bye.